You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch the Show for fans, by fans, about fans. I am Mags, and today's guest is someone who I've tried to get on this show so many bloody times. Finally, with our schedules have lined up, Laugh has decided to let this happen. I'm speaking to one of my former Brainbuster teammates, one of my fellow Brits and a podcasting legend, Jamie Bell. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm very good, my friend. How are you? Thanks for having me on, finally.
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, really, really glad to have you on. A weird ending to that Brainbuster kind of thing, but I'm sure we'll get into that. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about why you got into wrestling, why you fell in love with people pretending to fight in their underpants. It's basically what it is, though, isn't
it? Yeah, you're right. But my brother always says to me, he says, "Why are you watching that? It's a bunch of sweaty men." And I said, "Sweaty men." I'm like, "Good point. You play rugby, so you run into sweaty men." But anyway,
exactly. So, Jamie, go right back to the beginning. What's your first memory or your first like experience of professional wrestling?
I've been watching since about 1988. And it was WrestleMania 4. And it was my auntie, it was my mum's older sister and her husband and my cousins. They were all big wrestling fans. And I don't know how she did it, but she always got her hands on VHSs and all these things. And I was sleeping one night and it was she had WrestleMania 4. And it was the tournament for the world championship, which Randy Savage won.
Yeah.
And I was hooked since then. You know, I'm 36 next Wednesday, so that's, you know, 32 years I've been watching, and I couldn't think of anything better to have wasted them 32 years on than professional wrestling. But yes, yeah, so my Auntie Denise, I have to thank my Auntie Denise for opening my eyes to the world of wrestling.
Wow, your Auntie Denise sounds like an absolute legend and a tape trader as well.
Well, apparently so, yeah.
So, around that time, who were the first guys who you looked at as, like, your wrestling heroes?
I grew up a Hulkamaniac. I was a diehard Hulkamaniac. But I also, even from a young age, I always gravitated more towards the IC title kind of the mid-card. I was always a big fan of Mr. Perfect and your Bret Harts and people like that. So I would, as much as I'm a Hulkamaniac as I was growing up, I was much more enamoured and enthralled watching those guys. The workhorses, really, with that Intercontinental title, which is my favourite of all the titles ever. So yeah, I grew up, yeah, Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart, obviously Randy Savage. I'm a Hulkamaniac, like I think everybody was a Hulkamaniac at that age. But yeah, just so many larger than life characters. It was a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Absolutely. And your kind of start in wrestling is very similar to mine. I started with wrestling through my gran, and she was a Hulkamaniac. She was a Macho Man fan, so that's who I ended up being a fan of. And again, with the RC title, it's literally my favourite ever title. The original RC, well, not the original, but the RC title that Macho Man held, my favourite design of that belt. And if there's ever one kind of like replica belt I want, it's definitely that one.
You and me both, brother. That's the one I always want.
Yeah.
I never have the money to afford one. I'll be doing.
Yeah, exactly. So Has there ever been a time in all that time, 32 years of wrestling, that you thought, this isn't for me anymore, it's not speaking to me, and you've kind of give up on wrestling?
Not really, no. It's always been there. It's been... sorry, if you hear my phone going, sorry, Kate's just messaged me. If you hear beeps, it's just my phone. I'm in a group chat with the Ringsiders guy, and Kate and Callum are chatting at the minute, so I apologise if you hear anything.
Absolutely not a problem.
It's the one thing I always say. It's that one constant that's always been there. Whenever times have been rough, whenever I've been down, wrestling's always been there. So I've never turned my back on it, and hopefully it'll never turn its back on me. So no, I'm a very passionate wrestling fan. It's never ever gone away.
That's awesome. And I had a period where I was well out of wrestling for nearly a decade. I still kept in the know with like dirt sheets and stuff like that, but I didn't actually watch any wrestling for about 10 years. So yeah, but I've always got a bit of respect for people who've been able to like keep at it, even though there's like been ebbs and flows with the product.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, obviously, there's been some bad times, don't get me wrong. There's been times where I'm like, what the hell am I watching? Which is not normally every Monday night, but it's just always been there. It's one of them things that, like I said, I've had some bad times. I myself suffer mental health, anxiety, and it's that one constant. Whenever I'm down, I go into my happy place, and my happy place is a wrestling ring and is wrestling, and it's just always been there.
Oh, that's awesome to hear that it can be there for you. Like you said, when you're not feeling at your best, it's something, it kind of like blocks out real life, and it's a bit of an escape.
That is exactly what it is, yes. It is an escape. Yeah. Just for those couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, whatever it is, I just escape from reality and I forget everything, and it's perfect. There isn't a greater thing on the earth than professional wrestling.
I totally agree. I wouldn't be podcasting about it if I didn't agree. So coming up to that present time, what kind of products and promotions are you really invested in right now?
At the moment, I there's nothing better for me than the NWA at the moment. Mm-hmm. I am truly, truly hooked on it. I've actually got in the background at the moment NWA 70 on silent while we're talking. It's just, yeah, everything they are doing at the moment is spot on. Me and Callum, obviously, we are part of Ringsiders. We interviewed Zicky Dice and Royce Isaacs the other night.
Yeah.
And Callum said to them perfectly, is that NWA at the moment is the real alternative. People talk about Dynamite and this and that. NWA is the real alternative. They're giving us something different, and it's, for me, it's the best product on around at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. It's old school, but it's fresh at the same time. It's
exactly what Callum said. That is the exact words he said.
Yeah, I love the way it kind of harkens back to the old Jim Crockett kind of wrestling, or the original WCW, where it's studio based and you have the interviews literally in the same place, and you have a studio audience, and it's even like the little nuances, like the start time 6:05, harkening back to the original start time. It's just, it's done to absolute perfection.
Yeah, that's it. They are respecting the history of the NWA whilst giving it a new modern day feel, and I think it's fantastic. And don't get me wrong, you know, I watch NXT, I watch Dynamite, but NWA is the best one around for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So you've said you watch NXT and Dynamite as well. How as a fellow Brit are you seeing this kind of Wednesday night war, or as we get it, like a Thursday night thumb war, I suppose?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm one of these guys that doesn't really care about the ratings and all this stuff. You know, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm going to watch it regardless. But I am thoroughly enjoying both shows. I think from an in-ring point, NXT is better than Dynamite, but I really like what Dynamite are doing. They've got, you know, long-term storylines. They're bringing in guys. You know, I've got a funny feeling you're going to see Brody Lee, Luke Harper at some point. Obviously, Jake the Snake being used finally. I've been saying this for so long. Why is a company not using Jake the Snake? Just, I mean, for his mind alone, there is nobody better, in my opinion, for a wrestling mind than Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, I mentioned today on Twitter about someone put a post about who were the best on the mark, and for me, it's Jake the Snake. The way he could captivate you and not even have to raise his voice. Yeah, the guy is, he's got such a brain for the business.
100% agree. I think I saw that tweet myself, and I didn't comment. I was going to, but I was at work. But I'm glad you said that, because I was going to put Jake the Snake as well.
Mm-hmm.
Psychology-wise, there is nobody better than Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
He understands the wrestling business, and I think it's fantastic that AEW are utilising that. And, you know, good for Lance Archer being put with Jake Roberts. That's going to take him under the learning tree. That's going to be a wonder for him.
Yeah, exactly. I think this whole war that's gone on, I mean, fans like us, we kind of don't see it as a war. We just see it as even more product to watch. It's kind of lit a fire under NXT to be a better product. And for me, that it's win-win. There's no loser in this.
Exactly. You know, we as fans are winners. You know, I don't understand. You get all these people complaining on Twitter and all this and that, but you know what? We're wrestling fans and we're getting more wrestling products, so enjoy it. Quit moaning and enjoy it.
Yeah. You
know? And I tell you what, I will give a shout out to as well, is Impact. I've been watching Impact on Fridays again, and they're doing a fantastic job as well. They're going under the radar. Obviously, since Don Callis has taken over and Scott D'Amore again, they're really, really putting out a fantastic product. So, you know, I will give them a mention as well as one of the ones I watch regularly.
Yeah, they seem to just be like the promotion that will not die. Every time they kind of, someone says, oh, it's the death knell for Impact, or this is going to be the end of Impact, they just seem to kind of rise from the ashes again and again, and all power to them.
They've been dying for about 12 years, haven't they?
Yeah, since they were called NWA TNA, I think.
They're doing fantastic. I record it on a Friday. I watch it on a Saturday morning, and it's a fantastic product. In-ring-wise, they're putting on a wonderful product. And if people aren't watching it, I highly recommend they do start watching it.
So you guys at Ringside as an avid indie and especially Brit wrestling fans, what was the first time that you attended a live wrestling event?
Oh, for me, it was actually it was WWF back then, 1994. It was at the Hull Ice Arena. It was a pretty decent card. The main event was Bret Hart and the British Bulldog versus Jim the Anvil and Owen Hart. I remember it very clearly. We got Undertaker versus Yokozuna. There was Razor versus Diesel. I believe Shawn Michaels was there. It was a stacked card. So that was the first show I saw in this country. The first British show was in 1994, I believe, at the Hull City Hall. And it was a main event with the British Bulldog and Giant Haystacks.
Wow.
So, I was 10 years old. And obviously, I try to get to as many shows as I can now. Kurt is the king of British wrestling. You know, I worked at that from him. Me and Callum do love it as well, but I'll tip my hat. Kurt is the king when it comes to the Brit refs.
Oh, he definitely is. What that guy doesn't know about Brit refs, you don't need to know. It's just knowledge is amazing. So who are some of the promotions in Brit refs that you guys think deserve a bit of a push and a bit of a shout-out, who are doing good things in Brit wrestling and really not getting the acknowledgement?
Well, there's a company who formed last year, based in Nottingham. I don't know if you've heard of them, called WrestleGate.
Yeah.
They are the sponsor of Ringsiders. We're friends with Gary, the promoter. He's a huge Japanese wrestling fan, and he incorporates a lot of that into his company with WrestleGate. And we've never been to a bad show. I think they've done 4 or 5 shows so far, and I believe that they are British wrestling's best kept secret at the moment, shall we say. But I see big things for them. Obviously, things going on in the world at the moment, they're obviously not doing much. But when things are back to normal, WrestleGate, for me, one of the best promotions in the UK that I think a lot of people are going to hear a lot more about very soon.
Yeah, I agree. I think I heard about WrestleGate through you guys back when you were WrestleThought. So, that's an amazing promotion. And like I said, they're kind of on the cusp of great things in British wrestling. For me, one of the big standouts is going to be Breed Wrestling. I think the stuff that they do, especially the cave matches, are absolutely amazing. And I really have taken a liking to Riptide and Reach down there on the South Coast as well. I think they're doing some really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I'm hearing good things. I do know Kett's doing a 684-mile trip to Plymouth and back.
Madness.
You see, he's crazy insane. But I will give a shout out as well, actually. Obviously, I'm from Hull, and we have our own promotion called New Generation Wrestling. I'm not sure if you've heard from NGW. They've produced a lot of guys. They've had, obviously, Nathan Cruz, Lucas Steele, but they've had Joseph Connors, Zach Gibson, you name it. And they're a great company. They do a lot around this area, including their own Proving Ground, which is like their developmental territory, where they do regular shows as well, like a little mini NXT almost. So a big shout-out to New Generation Wrestling, which is also a company Callum once wrestled for. Just a little facts there for you.
Wow. I can't wait to speak to him about that. I've booked for him to be on the show a couple of times, but obviously life gets in the way. So hopefully he'll be on soon and we can discuss his wrestling career.
I will mention that too. I am actually seeing Callum tomorrow, but Callum is terrible to get hold of. It literally 3 days sometimes to get a reply. So I will work on that one for you, I promise. Yeah.
You're a star. So let's get on to your podcasting. I originally heard of you guys just as you were joining Brainbuster when you were the Wrestle Thoughts team. How did you and Callum and Kurt like decide to not just be fans of wrestling, but to kind of like go into creating content about wrestling?
Well, it was me and Callum originally. We was in a pub one day, and Callum was like, "I really want to do a podcast. I've always wanted to do a podcast." I'm like, "Well, I'll do a podcast with you." We're both massive wrestling fans, and then we always thought we need 3 of us, and that's when Kurt came to our heads. And obviously, to quote a famous quote, Kurt's the third man.
he's your Mabel.
he is. So we brought Kurt in. We've had that many name changes. I can't remember what we were first called. We had it before WrestleThought or something else. I cannot think of what we were called. That's going to really bug me. Obviously, WrestleThoughts, and then we rebranded to Ringsiders. And we're hitting off. I mean, we're doing so many interviews. Like I said, we did... In the last 3 weeks, we've done Joe Galli, Zicky Dice, and Royce Isaacs from the NWA. Our last interview before that was Lance Archer. So we're doing some pretty decent stuff. Obviously, we've got our own little side projects as well. I've got Bell to Bell. Kurt's got Kurt's Angle, where he's doing great things and having great interviews as well with up-and-coming British wrestlers. Basically, the brainchild was Callum's. He is the mastermind.
Yeah, I remember getting to know you through that whole Brainbuster period and just being blown away with the interviews that you come with and the contacts that you made, just some absolutely like marvelling how a podcaster from the north of England got to speak to these amazing wrestlers. I mean, just give the listeners an idea of some of the people who you've have interviewed on WrestleForts and onto Ringsiders.
Oh God, we've had. Our first ever interview was Alicia Atu. Sure, people are aware is now working for MLW. Obviously, we've had Lance Archer. We've had Sim Bodie, who was Kizani back in WWE. Kurt's done Shane Taylor. He's done Thunder Rosa. I said we've had Nathan Cruz from the UK. We've had Bryce Remsburg, who's a referee for AEW. I said recently we've just done Joe Galli, Royce Isaacs, and quite possibly my favourite ever one was Zicky Dice, because we interviewed Zicky Dice in character. He kept going into character, and it was the most insane interview I think we've ever done, which is available today. And there's loads more. I'm probably forgetting some people because we've done that many. Giselle Shaw, who's the Progress Women's Champion. There's just so many. And we have got another NWA guy coming up in a couple of weeks. We've got Dave Marquez coming on.
Wow.
And I'm sure I'm missing people off. I know we've done more than that. But you know when you just can't think? Yeah. Is that many? Yeah.
And you were just, like I said, you were absolutely blown me away with the names that you're coming with. And that's literally a who's who of not only wrestling's past, but wrestling's current and then wrestling's future. It's like a really great mix of the world of wrestling.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I was at Callum's on Monday night, and obviously we interviewed Royce Isaacs on Monday night, and I was driving home. And I actually texted Callum when I got in, and I said to him, I've just been thinking driving home how three kids from Hull who just wanted to do a podcast have been so lucky and so fortunate when you think about who we've interviewed. And it's just, it is mind-blowing. It really is. I'm like, we're wrestling fans and we're getting to chat to our people we respect and look up to and watch on TV. And it's just a surreal thing. It really is. Another name, obviously, Kurt and Callum did Travis Banks in the NXT UK when they were in Hull a few months ago. They interviewed him. So it's just another name. It's just surreal. It really is. I'm very, very grateful and fortunate for the opportunities that we've been given.
Yeah, it's honestly, you guys... From day one, from getting to know you through Brainbuster, you have absolutely blown me away with not only the interviews you've done, but also the like kind of diverse ideas that you had for podcasts. It wasn't like you were just an interview show. You did reviews, you did roundtables. It was just a really good mix of you just didn't know what WrestleForts were going to come out with week to week, and yeah, it kept you really, really entertained.
Yeah, we are. We are going to be doing some more video content soon. Obviously, at the moment, with the things that are going on in the world, we can't do it at the minute, but we have got plans in the future to start doing video content as well. But we are still going to be recording things. We're going to be Skyping each other. We are still going to see each other. Obviously, we're not going to go and sit around 200 plus people, but we are going to see each other. So there is a lot more to come. Like I said, we've got Dave Marquez coming up. I reached out to a couple of guys last night who I haven't heard back from yet, but obviously I won't throw their names out just yet. I might tell you when we've stopped recording. There's a couple more that I've reached out to who could possibly be coming on as well. So it's looking good. The future's looking very good for us at the moment.
Yep, it certainly is. But there has been a kind of a dark shadow over your podcasting career, shall we say, and that was the issues with Brainbuster. Now, I don't really want to go like too deep into it, but because we've obviously spoken about Brainbuster over and over again. But I'd like to really hear your take on what happened with WrestleForce and Brainbuster at the time, because from our point of view, we had no information whatsoever. It was literally just WrestleForce are no longer with the network anymore. And when we kind of pushed for questions, we got no kind of answer. And we still haven't really had a definitive answer yet. I've spoke to Kurt about it. So what was your take about what happened in those kind of final days with WrestleForce and Brainbuster?
I'm pretty much the same as you. I was kind of oblivious to it. It's obviously, Kurt and Callum do a lot more of the social media than me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm a bit of a technophobe. And I think it was Callum who sent the message, basically, that Wilf has said that we're no longer on Brainbuster. It was a shocker. I didn't see it coming. I don't want to sound like a dick, but I also wasn't that bothered as well, because, you know, I thought, you know, we're doing all right, you know, let's just keep on going, let's keep on being what we're doing, you know, let's make a name for ourselves, we don't need to be to worrying, to let it get us down. But I pretty much know as much as you do. I was pretty much made aware of it when it was announced, and Callum sent me the message. But it's still something to this day that I really are still fully aware of, but I live each day as if it's my last. So I don't dwell on it, shall we say. It's I know Wilf has apologised to people and all this and that, and I wish Wilf nothing but the best. It was just one of them things. But I think, looking at things, we're doing pretty well on our own.
Yeah, and it's so good to see. But after you kind of left Brainbuster, you was in like this kind of transition period where you did put out content for a while, and then kind of WrestleThoughts kind of disappeared. But like a phoenix from the flames, you kind of arose as ringsiders. What prompted that change from being known as WrestleThoughts to having this like kind of brand now almost with ringsiders?
Well, we all got together, and it was actually one of our friends, Rivers, who said ringsiders. It sounded too familiar WrestleThoughts sounded too much like Wrestle Talk. Mm-hmm. And we never really thought about that. And then obviously we're like, oh yeah, it does. So we were all, literally we were going back and forth, throwing names out, me, Kurt and Callum's like, let's call it this, let's call it that. And then I can't remember who even came up with ringsider. Let's go with me, because them two are ears. I'm the genius behind all this. And then we just thought we could use ringsider as almost like an umbrella. So obviously ringsider is the main thing. But like I said, I've got Bell to Bell, which is just starting off with me and my friend Imi. Kurt's got his own thing. Callum does all of the editing, bless him. He really is. I mean, Kurt does it. All of his editing for Kurt's angle, but ringsiders, bell to bell, all the editing, everything you see on Instagram, it's all Callum. He busts his ass, and that, you know, he puts everything into this. So everything you see on Instagram, everything that's edited, all these interviews you see, that's all Callum. He really is the brains behind this. I can't praise that kid enough. But it's just it all just hit off from that, and here we are. And who knows, maybe there'll be more to come. But like I said, I think we've done a lot better since going off on our own again, the interviews we've had. But just doing our own thing, and I think it's working out good for us.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's kind of almost like reignited your passion for it almost. Like I said, you've all got your own offshoot kind of projects, and like you said, Kurt's got Kurt's angle. I know he's dropping an interview with LA Taylor very, very soon, and you've got Bell to Bells. Tell us about that. Tell us about the idea behind your offshoot podcast.
Well, it was basically, obviously, if people listen to the podcast, they'll all know that I'm a massive old school fan, and I must say old school about 50 odd times each podcast. So Kurt and Callum were like, why don't you do one where you can talk about the old days? So obviously it started, I did a couple of episodes on my own. I wasn't feeling it. I just felt like this kind of podcast needs to be at least two of us. And a friend of all of us, Immy, is a big old school wrestling fan like me. And we were just talking one night and I said, why don't you come on? Let's make this a two-man booth. And we got back into it. We recorded last week. We did a WrestleMania 7 episode. Callum, bless him, edited it. It's up and running. It's everywhere you can find podcasts. And yeah, it's one of the things where I just want to talk about old pay-per-views, old rivalries, old matches. Amy's come up with the idea. Our next one we're going to be recording next Tuesday. We're going to be doing a retrospective on the career of Sting. So there is that to come as well.
Wow, that sounds like it'd be awesome. I was never a massive WCW fan. And obviously I've gone back and watched a lot of the stuff since. But yeah, it'd be an interesting kind of look at his career. Probably get some information that I didn't even know about.
Well, this is it. I mean, Sting is Immy's favourite wrestler, and it was Immy who said to me, do a Sting retrospective. I was perfectly okay with that. I'm a fan of Sting, but Immy might even teach me a few things that I don't know.
Absolutely. So even within the Ringsiders umbrella, you're kind of branching out from wrestling altogether, and you have the Occult podcast. What's that all about?
Actually, before I mentioned that, I have almost forgot. Me and Callum started a new podcast this past Saturday called Ringsiders Ranch. It's basically Ringsiders Unplugged After Dark. So episode one is out there. We're just basically chatting crap, shooting the shit, no limits. We had a bottle of whiskey, some cigarettes, and we're just chatting, unplugged, whatever came to our head. So that is out there as well, Ringsiders Ranch. As for the Occult, again, this was a Callum thing. Me and Callum are both fascinated by the paranormal, UFOs, aliens, Area 51. I'm a huge Bigfoot nerd. And it was Callum who said, why don't we do an Occult podcast? So obviously, when we started, we brought Ringsiders back. We branched out. Our friend Rivers did Make It Darker, which was a horror podcast, and me and Callum thought, well, it was Callum who thought, why don't we do something on the occult side of things? So it's another passion of ours. Callum's a lot more into the paranormal, the ghosts and stuff, whereas I'm more into the Bigfoots and the Area 51s and stuff. So we've recorded a few of them. We haven't done it for a while, obviously, with Ringsiders getting back up and running and all this, but I do believe we are going to be doing an occult either this week or next week. So that is coming back as well.
Awesome. I listen to a podcast called The Parapod. It's by two comedians. One's called Barry Dodds and the other one's called Ian Boldruth, I think. And one believes in absolutely everything you tell. You tell him a bit of a story and he'll instantly believe it. And the other one's kind of like more of a skeptic. And they've actually made a movie.
That's exactly what Callum calls me. Jamie will believe anything Bell.
Yeah. Well, they've actually done a movie about the podcast, and I'm taking the wife to see it in, I think it's in Liverpool, to like a private screening of it. Because she's like you and like this Barry, she'll just, you can just say ghost and she'll instantly believe it, no evidence required.
Yeah, I will check that one out. But yeah, Callum calls me Jamie. I believe anything Bell, and I call him Captain Skeptic. We are going to be recalling hopefully some point this week or next week. So we are going to be bringing the cult back as well.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, the future's looking bright for you guys over there at Ringsiders. How do you see Ringsiders evolving? How do you see it going? Is it something that you want to maybe potentially pursue as a full-time career, or is it always going to be kind of like, we do this for fun?
I think it's for fun. Me and Callum have always said it's just for fun. It's a hobby. It's something we love doing, and we're very, very lucky with what we've been able to do so far and who we've been able to speak to. If it hit off and became something, that'd be fantastic. But me and Callum just love it. And Kate, we love it because it's just, it's something we love and we're passionate about, and we get to talk about it, and we've got to speak to so many people and wrestlers, and obviously we've made new friends like yourself and people in the Twitter community. It's brilliant. Like I said, when wrestling's done right, there's nothing better in the world, and there's nothing better than being a wrestling fan and getting to share that with other wrestling fans. Again, obviously, like coming on here with you, and it's the best feeling in the world.
Absolutely is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it if we could make millions and stuff. Great, but unfortunately, I think I'm going to be getting up and going to work tomorrow anyway. So.
Yes, but it's really good to hear you guys get your passion back. I know that you've been through some tough times, and it's good to hear you really like getting it back into it and creating some absolutely amazing and diverse content. It's, as someone who kind of looked his way through creating podcasts, so yeah, it's good to see you really like flourishing.
Oh yeah, we are. Yes, like I said, I couldn't, if it wasn't for Kate and Callum, I wouldn't be doing this because I can't edit a thing. I mean, I'm completely useless. I put out a few tweets, but that's usually about it. I am useless when it comes to all the editing and whatever they do. Those two work behind the scenes and do everything. Callum edits everything. Kate edits Kate's angle. They're both just fantastic, the pair of them. I just turn up and speak.
you're the talent.
I am. I'm the rating.
You're the draw. You're the Sammy Callahan.
I'll take that, yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun. What I like to do after the question and answer segment, I like to do a bit of word association. I'll throw some words or phrases about wrestling at you, and you just give me the first things that come to your mind. How's that sound?
Cool. Am I allowed to swear or not?
You can swear all you like, mate.
I'm trying not to.
No, it's fine. It's definitely not a PG podcast. Let's go with the first one, and it's quite topical. Let's go with, what are your thoughts on coronavirus?
First of all, I just need to throw up there that I actually work in NHS. I work at the hospital. I'm trying to be diplomatic here. I think people need to do exactly what they've been told to do. They need to look after themselves, wash their hands. I think it's been blown out of proportion a little bit. I think the media are causing a bit of a hysteria. But I'm seeing firsthand, obviously working at the hospital. It's a serious thing. I'm not personally too worried, but you know, it's a serious thing. Anybody who's listening, just follow them simple rules, you know. Stay safe, wash your hands.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's quickly become the biggest heel in wrestling, bigger than Baron Corbin, bigger than New Japan's music rights. It's just, yeah, it's become the wrestling killer.
Oh, yeah, it has.
So let's go back to actual wrestling. What's your thoughts on Vince McMahon?
Genius. Love him.
Yeah,
I had this discussion with Callum in the car the other night. We wouldn't be doing these podcasts if it wasn't for Vince McMahon. Everything that we have is because of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So I hate it when you... Don't get me wrong, Vince has some stupid ideas. You know, I'm not going to come on here and say, you know, everything Vince does is fantastic. It's not. But Vince McMahon has given us what we have today. So you'll never hear me badmouth Vince or wish death upon Vince. Plus, Vince will never die anyway. But, genius. Nothing more than a genius.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't be doing stuff like this, because without the way Vince changed wrestling, I don't think wrestling would be as popular as it is now if we still had that kind of territorial system. So yeah, he kind of changed the game, and it look at what we've got now.
Exactly. Yeah, we have everything we have because of Vince.
Exactly. So next we will go with, what are your thoughts on Cody Rhodes?
I love him. It's like watching a young Dusty. I've had the pleasure of meeting Cody, and he is truly one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. He is, again, I think there's a bit of a genius in there. He understands the wrestling business. He knows what he's doing. I think AEW's in fantastic hands with him working behind the scenes. He's a great in-ring talent. Yeah, nothing but respect for Cody Rhodes. I say one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life.
For me, it's always going to be the business in him. He's made the second biggest promotion in the world off betting on himself and knowing that he could do better than what he was getting in WWE.
Exactly.
So next we'll go with what seems to be his kind of arch nemesis, Triple H.
Ah, well, I'm a Triple H guy. I am a Triple H guy. I cannot lie. I cannot hold that, back. I've been a Triple H guy. Well, God, not since Hunter Hearst Helmsley, but
since terrorizing.
Terrorizing, my God. Probably since around the DX time. Yeah, I've always been a Triple H guy. I think he's one of the greatest of all time. He's such a badass. He's one of the best heels we've ever had. And whether you like him or not, if you go back to the year 2000, that was one of the best runs of any person I've ever seen. He was just a fantastic talent in ring, cuts a decent promo, badass. It helps that Motorhead are one of my favorite bands, so obviously his theme music as well. But yeah, love Triple H, and I think the company's in very safe hands if NXT's anything to go by.
Yeah, I agree. Looking at his wrestling career, I would have never thought he would be kind of the heir apparent to the WWE system. He never struck me as kind of someone who would be so good backstage, but wow, he absolutely is, and he's making the best product that WWE produced right now for me.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Like I said, not that, like I said, Vince will never die. But obviously, if Vince ever decides to take a step back, I think the company's in very safe hands with Triple H. What I like with Triple H as well is he's, at the end of the day, he's a wrestling fan. So I think he's in very safe hands.
Yeah, I agree. And the last one I'm going to go with, Jamie, and I know you are a technophobe, but how do you feel about wrestling social media?
It has its good and its bad. Like I said, I try to avoid a lot of social media, but it can be good. It gives you that chance to interact with people you'd never get to speak to. Wrestlers interacting with you. But then, on the other hand, you've got these idiots, these keyboard warriors who are never happy if they don't get what they want. So it's swings and roundabouts. It's, it's good and it's bad. Me personally, I try to just block the negativity out and just look at the positives and speak to the people who I class as friends in this wrestling community. I'm good and bad, but I try to avoid the bad.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of brought out the very best in wrestling, and then also the absolute worst. Like you mentioned, the fans that are never pleased and they can't wait to go online and absolutely shit on a product before even kind of letting a storyline play out. They're already kind of like beating it down, and companies like WWE can never win because they can never please them kind of fans. But then you, on the flip side, I wouldn't be doing this. We wouldn't be having this conversation if it wasn't for the likes of social media.
Exactly. I think a lot of it is obviously fans now have more access to the internet and the dirt sheets. And I think there's a lot of the toxic fans, because of that, they think that they know way too much than they do. And they try to act like they are an authority on the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. And if you say something they don't like, or if you if you know something they don't know, then they're on you like a ton of bricks, and it's a very negative place, but it's also a very positive place. And I like to focus on the positive.
Absolutely, and that's a perfect way to end. People should just be more positive about wrestling. At the end of the day, it's an entertainment program. It's not real life. If you don't like what you're watching, there's about 100,000 different promotions out there that would happily take your viewing, and it's so easy to watch it. I mean, we can watch wrestling from Mexico, from America, from Japan, from Australia, sat in front of your laptop. It's just that easy. So I just don't understand why you would put yourself through something you dislike when you can go out there and watch absolutely anything you want and enjoy yourself, because that's what wrestling's meant to do. You're meant to enjoy it. As we mentioned at the beginning, it's an escape. If you're watching it to hate something, what are you escaping from?
Exactly. Couldn't agree more, man. Couldn't agree more.
So, Jamie, tell the Why We Watch listeners where they can get hold of you and the rest of the Ringsiders crew on social media. Tell them where they can find your multitude of podcasts and all your offshoots. Just give us all that good information.
Oh, God, I better get this right, aren't I? right, Instagram and Twitter, you can find me, RedWolfJB. You can find Callum X Black Mass, and you can find Kurt Johansson 93. That's all on Twitter and Instagram. Also on Twitter, Ringsiders Pod, Bell to Bell, Kurt's Angle Pod, and obviously me, Callum, are bringing about Occult Pod as well, which is on Twitter. I think that's it. Yes, that's all of us. God. I'm with Callum here right now to see how well I just remembering all that.
Absolutely. Well, you'll have to just make sure he listens to it and that gives you the seal of approval.
Oh, I will do.
Yeah, so thanks a lot for doing this, Jamie. I really do appreciate it. And I know, especially in these times with coronavirus, and it's quite worrying. I'm just glad that we got this done. Thanks a lot, mate.
Oh, thank you for having me, mate. Anytime.
So, listeners, you can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. You can follow this podcast at Why We Watch. Another massive thanks to Jamie. He's been an absolute star. Yep, and thanks for listening, guys. And that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.